Well, here we go. You know what I'm going to say, but maybe not exactly, because what we're going to do tonight is a little bit different than what we sometimes do. Often I try to stay in sync with the Pharisaic, the Rabbinic Judaism regular cycle. But given the holiday season and the fact that, of course, there's a slight difference in the calendars and all that kind of jazz, this time of year is always difficult. And I guess the other thing people already know that if you've heard me go through the cycle more than once, we get to the end of the Torah and the beginning of Genesis, and I just irritates me every year to go through Genesis, the first six chapters, in one session. I think that's way out of line, and even the first couple of Torah portions are that way. So what I'm going to try to do is use the holiday portion here, since we're going to be somewhat out of sync anyway, catch up a little bit, get a little bit ahead in some other areas. So what we're going to do tonight, and I'll say it this way, turn with me, if you will, to chapter 31, which is the first of what I'm going to make a double portion for this evening. It's really only a chapter apiece. So Parsha Vayelech is just chapter 31. And then the next chapter, which kind of goes with it anyway, is Parsha Ha'atzinu. And that takes us almost, but not quite, to the end of the book and the end of the Torah. So let's go ahead through those two chapters. And this is literally wrapping up the speech that Moshe gives, and also wrapping up the life of Moshe himself. It says, verse 1, he went and he spoke. So, and he went is Vayelech. And spoke these words unto Kol Israel, all of Israel. He said to them, I'm 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. And Yahuwah has said to me, you know what? You are not going to go over the Jordan. Yahuwah Yireh, he will go over before you. So he is now, remember, addressing the people of Israel. He, Yireh, will go over before you. He'll destroy those nations from before you, dispossess them, and your new leader, Yeshua, he will go over before you as Yahuwah has spoken. And Yahuwah will do unto them just as he did to Sihon, unto Og, king of the Amorites, and unto their land whom he destroyed. So understand that. That's a key. He's going to repeat this. He's already mentioned it several times because it is a big deal. It's an indication of exactly what Yah is capable of and has said he will do and he will do. Yahuwah will deliver them up before you. He'll do to them according to the commandment, all which I have commanded you. So he says, Kazakh. Now, this is the Yah form of Kazakh, so it's Kazakhu. Yah, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be affrighted of them, for Yahuwah your own. He is the one that does go before you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. So, Moshe called unto Joshua, and he said unto him, in sight of all Israel, Kazakh. Now, here's the singular form, Kazakh. Be strong and of good courage, because you are going to go with this people into the land which Yahuwah has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Yahuwah, he goes before you. He'll be with you. He won't fail you, nor forsake you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. And then it says, and Moshe wrote HaTorah, this instruction, this Torah. And he delivered it to the Kohanim, the sons of Levi, those that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moshe commanded them, said, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release, during, now this season, as it turns out, we're heading there over there, depending upon, again, which calendar you're observing. But at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Yahuwah is come to appear before Yahuwah Yireh, in a place that he shall choose, later we know that was Jerusalem. That's why in the place that he chose, and he chose it for several reasons, and he also chose to have Yeshua, the Savior, born there. And this was a Feast of Ascension, so it all fits together. During that time, you shall read this Torah before all of Israel in their hearing. So every seventh year that was to happen. Assemble the people, the men and the women, the little ones, the stranger that's within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear Yahuwah Yireh, and observe to do all the words of this Torah, and that their children, whom not known, may hear and learn to fear Yahuwah Yireh, as long as you live in the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess it. And then Yahuwah said to Moshe, behold, the days approach when you will die. Must die even. So call Joshua, present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may give him a charge. So Moshe and Joshua went, they presented themselves in the tent of meeting, and Yahuwah appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the door of the tent, the Ohel. And Yahuwah said to Moshe, behold, you're about to sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise up. Now listen to this. He is telling them exactly what Moshe has already told them. They are going to go astray. After you're gone, just brace yourself, that's what's going to happen. They'll rise up, they'll go astray after the foreign gods of the land, the ones he told them not to, they're going to do it anyway. Whither they go to be among them, and they will forsake me, and they will literally nullify my covenant which I have made with them. Now that word is interesting there. The root is parar, and it literally means it's the same word that's used when a husband makes void the vows of his wife in Numbers chapter 30. So literally what he is saying is they are going to nullify the covenant that I made with them. It's not just break it. In other words, it's to make it like it never existed. That's amazing. And then, of course, the next verse makes more sense when you realize that. Then he says, my anger is going to be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. Now, I'm going to pause, ask a question. Is his face still hidden? We're still in exile. Think about it. I'll hide my face from them. And they'll be devoured, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they'll say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely, he says, hide my face in that day, for all the evil which they have wrought, and that they have turned unto other gods. And I can't help but think, seems to me like we've never seen that reversed in Scripture. He said it would happen. And it did indeed happen that they were kicked out. We are still in exile. Okay? And then he says this. Now, this is an interesting verse. Let me read it, and I'll tell you why. Well, one of several reasons that's interesting. Now, he says, write out a song. Write this song for you, and teach it unto, and the root word there is lamad, lamada, or lam, anyway, teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, so that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So he's going to have them learn the song. This is going to be another of what would be called the two songs of Moses. And what's also interesting about this one is, this is said by the rabbis, those that count, to be the 613th, the final, the last mikvah, a mitzvah, in the book. Number 613. Now, as to whether it's really 613, you know, obviously people can count them, and by the time you get to that big of a number, but that number's been around for a long time, and this is kind of universally understood to be the last of the 613. Now it says, for when I have brought them into the land which I swore unto their fathers, you know, that land flowing with milk and honey, and they've eaten their fill, and they get fat, they wax fat, then they turn to other gods, and they serve them, and despise me. And basically, he's talking about this, if you look at it, in the past tense. Because as far as he's concerned, he's seen it. It's already happened. And broken, made void, my covenant, he said. So this is at the point where he is describing its past tense. They did it. They turned to other gods, served them, despised me, and broke my covenant. Well, he says, then it'll come to pass, when these many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song will testify before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. Because I know their imagination, how even now, before I've even brought them into the land which I swore, how things go. So Moshe wrote out this song that same day, taught it to the B'nai Israel, and he gave Joshua, son of Nun, the charge. And he said, again, how many times have we seen that? At least three in this portion alone. Kazak, be strong and of good courage, because you are going to bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with you. Now, it came to pass, when Moshe had made an end of writing the words of this Torah in a book till they were finished, that Moshe commanded the Levites, those that bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, and he said, take this book of HaTorah, put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff-neckedness. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you've been rebellious against Yahuwah. So how much more after my death? So assemble now unto me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears. And, here it is again, call heaven and earth, the two witnesses that have persisted, are still out there to this day. They testify that not one yoder tittle has passed from the Torah to witness against them. Because I know that after my death, you will rise, you will in any wise deal corruptly. You're gonna fall away. Turn aside from the way in which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the end of days. That's interesting. The end of days. Because you will do that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah, to provoke him through the work of your hands. Now, I read this, and I note the term end of days there. And note, we know that the exile has already happened. Northern kingdom was first. They got sent out, Shalak, then the southern kingdom. All of us, one way or the other, still in exile. Yeah, a few folks have returned to the land, but by and large, folks, Israel has not really returned to the land either. And what's there, arguably, is not a Torah-obedient Israel. But it says here, end of days. And what I think is interesting is, people have asked for years, are we at the end of days yet? Well, I'll tell you one thing, we're closer than we've ever been before. Are we there yet? It's not clear, but I look at the things that are going on now, and I think we probably are closer. Well, I don't doubt it. We are closer, without question, than any of us have ever been in all of our lives. But what does that mean? Well, here's what's interesting. He says, you will do that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah. Does he mean cutting the genitalia off little boys and little girls? Does he mean killing people? Does he mean dishonest ways? Well, he could mean any, and probably does, all of these things that he says are abomination, don't do that we do, and so forth. But it says here, provoke him through the work of your hands. And I can't help but think that when it comes to the things that are just plain evil, we got tons of them. When it comes to the things that provoke him through the work of our hands, other than abusing little boys and little girls, one thing that seems to be different about this time than any other time in human history is this ability to provoke him through the work of their hands, either through modifying DNA and literally creating bioweapons and modifying the human beings themselves and creating abominations out of what he made in his image. So that would certainly be an abomination, evil in the sight of Yahuwah through the work of our hands. But another one I can't help but think would be AI. We can create a real fake god. The fake gods of wood and stone, they couldn't speak. They couldn't do things that were impressive, but the fake gods of silicon, they might just be able to. So provoke him through the work of your hands ought to at least kind of resonate with us a bit. And then the last verse on the portion says, Moshe spoke in the ears of all the assembly, Kahal, all the assembly of Israel, the words of this song until they were finished. All right, which takes us to the chapter that follows, which is chapter 32, and the portion that follows, which is called Ha'atzinu, which literally means give ear, and that's how the portion begins. That's how the song begins. So think of it this way. This is Moshe singing this song literally immediately before his death. Give ear, Ha'atzinu, you heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Two things. One, your heavens and earth. There are those two witnesses again. And two, Shamar. No, in this case it's give ear, which is not exactly hear and obey. But there is certainly an implication of listen up here. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech will distill as the dew. Small rain upon the tender grass as the showers upon the earth. For I will proclaim the name of Yahuwah. Now, I don't like this verse in the English. In the most Bibles, it says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, his name, I'm going to proclaim it. It's right here in the song. Why do they take it out? It says, I will proclaim the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So let's get it right. Ascribe you greatness unto RL. Like, don't hide his name. Don't reduce it to nothingness. Hatsur, the rock. Some English versions capitalize it. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, an Elohim of faithfulness and without iniquity, without Torahlessness, just and right is he. He is literally the circular definition of observant of his own word, because he is, it's his character, of righteousness, because that is what he is. Is corruption his? No! His children's is the blemish, a generation crooked and perverse. Do you thus requite Yahuwah, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he your father that's gotten you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he'll declare unto you. Your elders, they'll tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations, the Goyim, their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, he set the borders of the peoples according to the number of the B'nai Israel. So basically, when he set these things in place, remember, they divided them according to the populations of the tribes. Setting the borders. For the portion of Yahuwah is his people, Jacob, the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land in the waste, a howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. So he is now singing about the song of Jacob, his people. As an eagle that stirs up her nest hovers over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taking them, bearing them on her pinions, Yahuwah alone did lead him, meaning Yaakov, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he did eat the fruitage of the field. He made him to suck honey out of the crag, and oil out of the flinty rock, curd of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and he-goats, with the kidney fat of wheat and the blood of the grape, you drank foaming wine. But, it says, Jeshurun waxed fat. Now, this is an interesting word. It is generally thought to be a reference to Yaakov. And it's kind of almost like a poetic name in this sense. But it is the first use in the book. And the root seems to have to do with the word upright. And that kind of makes sense as well. So Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. You did. In fact, he says waxed fat. You grew thick. You became gross. And he forsook Elohim who made him and condemned the rock of his salvation. Yahshua Tov. They roused him, capitalized, they roused Yah to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations did they provoke him. They sacrificed unto demons, no gods, gods that they didn't know, new gods that came up of late, which your fathers did not dread. Of the rock that begot you, you were unmindful, and you did in fact forget Elohim that bore you. And Yahuwah saw, and he spurned because of the provoking of his sons and daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. Now here comes a verse that I have highlighted that I think is, especially today, vitally important to understand. They have roused me, he says, to jealousy with something that is a no-god. In other words, it's not a god at all, a fake. They've roused me to jealousy with a no-god. They've provoked me with their vanities, and I'm going to rouse them to jealousy with a no-people, a people who are not a people. I'll provoke them with a vile nation. Now, wait a second. It occurs to me as I'm reading this, in the context of what we're seeing today, is America that vile nation? I mean, ask yourself the question. Now, there are other vile nations on the planet, but I got to admit, when I look at the world today, and I see cackling Kamala, and I see people that are being flooded out, and I see children's genitalia being cut off of them, and I see abominations on the world reserve currency, which is the biggest debt abomination and fake in the history of the world, and I see a world that is literally on the brink of nuclear war because of cretins and Satan worshipers who are pushing it there and who are doing everything possible to call evil good and good evil. If the Creator says don't do it, they say do it. We'll mandate it and subsidize it. We'll bring in foreign invaders to force you to do it. We'll take your homes. We'll destroy everything you hold dear. We'll take your God and kick him out of the schools, the courts, the whorehouse, you name it. They've roused me with a no-God to jealousy, he says. I'm going to rouse them to jealousy with a no-people, provoke them with a vile nation. Well, subject to some feedback, off the top of my head, I can't think of a nation really that's been more vile, that has greater technology and ability to be vile too, than the one that we sadly once knew as America the Beautiful. It's now America the Vile. Because of the following, he says, for a fire is kindled in my nostrils and burns into the depths of the netherworld, devours the earth with her produce, and sets ablaze the foundations of the mountains. You know what? I read that. It sounds like something that the Biden-Fuhrer and the criminals in the swamp are jonesing really hard to do, trying to get Russia provoked into doing. I think they'd be thrilled if they could literally set the mountains ablaze. I will heap evils upon them, says Yahuwah. I'll send my arrows, spend them upon them. The wasting of hunger, the devouring of the fiery bolt, bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts will I send upon them, the venom of crawling things of the dust. On the outside or without shall the sword be reeve, and in the chambers terror. slaying both young man and virgin, the suckling with the man of gray hairs. They're hanging from trees now, folks, in North Carolina. I thought I'd make an end of them. I'd make their memory cease from among men, were it not that I dreaded the enemy's provocation, lest their adversaries should misdeem and they should say, our hand is exalted, and it hadn't been Yahuwah that has wrought all of this. Now, let's pause, because you read that and you go, oh, wait a second. He seems to be talking about, or is it the first or the second time? Does history repeat? Is there a prophetic rhyme going on here? Huh. Well, we certainly know that this was the argument that Moshe used. Okay, lest they be destroyed here in the wilderness, and the enemy say that you couldn't do it. All right, agreed. That is something we've seen before. But he's also talking about a time to come, and I will suggest, because I think history repeats, history rhymes too, and so does prophecy. It repeats and it rhymes. We've seen this before, and I can't help but think we know we're going to see it again. That seems to be what we're talking about here. So it certainly sounds like this is a reference to what has happened, but will happen again. Lesser enemies should misdeem and should say, our hand is exalted. It's not Yahuwah that's done all this. Can you see that in the news? You know that's precisely what CNN would say. There is no God. This isn't God that did this. It's just, you know, well, they may call it an act of God if they think you can blame him, but they'll basically blame, maybe they'll blame it on Iran. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Because he says they're a nation void of counsel. There's no understanding in them. If they're wise, they'd understand this. They would discern their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight, unless or except their rock had given them over and Yahuwah had delivered them up? For their rock, he says, is not as our rock. So there's that root word, zur. Their rock is not like our. Even our enemies themselves are judges. For their vine is a vine of Sodom. Their fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. The clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents. The cruel poison of asps. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasures, he asks. Vengeance is mine. We've heard the verse, but this is slightly different. Same quote. Vengeance is mine. And recompense against the time when their foot shall slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that are about to come upon them shall make haste. I read this, I think, in part for a reason. Because as I look at the news and I see what's going on and I look at the times and the seasons and see here where we are, the prophetic calendar and the fall feasts and the things that are harbingers, shadow pictures of things to come, I can't help but think that on just about every front you can name, with a date certain to come, you know, a time when it will be revealed whether or not there is such a thing as an honest election. We already know the answer. Who are we kidding? It's going to be rigged. The question is how bad, how much in your face, and can it get any more blunt than it already has? The things that are about to come upon them shall make haste, he says. For Yahuwah will judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their stay is gone, there's none remaining, shut up, or left at large. Yahuwah will judge his people. Is America his people? That's an interesting take, isn't it? And it's then said, where are their gods, the rock in whom they trusted? I guarantee you, that's something that could be said about America. Where the hell are their fake gods? What the hell do they trust in? One thing's for sure, folks, it's not in God we trust. If it is, it's not the same God that wrote the book. It's not the same God that says, hey, these dishonest weights and measures are an abomination. You try to say that you've put my name on it and claim you trust me? If you did, you wouldn't make falsehood your so-called money. Who did, he says, eat the fat of their sacrifices, drink the wine of their drink offerings? Let that one rise up to help you. Let him be your protection. Now, you want these fake gods? You got your AI gods? Let's just see how they do. Call on them. See now, I am he. He says, there's no other God with me. I kill, I make alive. I've wounded and I heal. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine adversaries and I will recompense them that hate me. Full stop again. Them that hate me. Does that describe America? I guarantee you, folks, you flip on the so-called news networks, you flip on the swamp, you flip on these cretins in the whorehouse painted white, they hate him. They hate him with almost as much fervor as they, well, maybe they hate him with more than they do the Donald Trumps and the MAGA people of the world. They hate everything associated with truth, justice, and the American way, and they especially hate this concept of self-evident truths, that there's a God, the God that gave us life, gave us liberty, and that the purpose of the Constitution and governments on earth is to secure those rights from for men that come from him. They hate him. I, he says, will recompense them that hate me. I'll make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired heads of the enemy. Long-haired heads of the enemy. That sounds like something you'd find in, well, in the swamp, or maybe at CNN Central. Sing aloud, O ye nations of his people, because he does avenge the blood of his servants, and does render vengeance to his adversaries, and does make expiation for the land of his people. And then it says this, Moshe came along, and he spoke all of the words of this song in the ears of the people. He, along with Hoshea, the son of Nun. So that is the end of the song, almost, but not quite the end of the chapter and the Torah portion. So when Moshe had made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel, he said unto them, Set your heart unto all the words wherewith I testify against you this day, that you may charge your children therewith to observe to do all kol of the words of HaTorah, this instruction. Because this is no vain thing for you, he says. And here he is summarizing what we talked about just last week, Numbers chapter 30. This is your life, right? Choose life. This is your life, this Torah. It is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days upon the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess. And Moshe then heard the following. It says, Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe that same day. He said the following. Get yourself up unto this mountain of Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan. In other words, scope out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die. And die there in the mountain when you go up, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother did and died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because, he says, here's the final reminder, you trespassed against me in the midst of the children of Israel in the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Because you did not sanctify me, you did not set me apart in the eyes, in the midst of the children of Israel. So, he says, you shall see the land from afar off, but you shall not go into that land which I give unto the B'nai Israel. So it's a bittersweet ending of the chapter, and certainly of Moses' life. Obviously, he would have wanted to go into the land. He is going to see it, but he is going to go up, and he is going to perish. And that leaves us with chapter 33 next week, and that will be the final parsha in the Torah and in the book of Devarim.